This is Alan Karpik with Tom Dienhart, our Saturday conversation, Saturday simulcast, and we're getting closer now, just a couple weeks from the start of the season, and we'll take a little hiatus on that once the season starts, but we'll have episodes for you here the next 2 weeks. Next week, we'll talk about Tom Schott's new book on the 100 things that Purdue fans should do before they die. So I need to do some reading here in the next week and get caught up so we're ready with that. And we'll have Tom on us as well. But today, the story is Purdue-Notre Dame series and are some of our memories. Of course, this past Wednesday, marked the 70th anniversary of probably the most famous upset, arguably, in the history of Purdue football. Certainly a game that put Purdue on the map, the 1950 upset of Notre Dame and South Bend, breaking Notre Dame's 39-game unbeaten streak. And Stu Holcomb's team and Dale Samuels, a quarterback, beat Frank Leahy's legendary bunch. I want to thank our sponsor, also the Purdue Union Club Hotel, and they are hosting Purdue game watch parties for each of the home games this year. You're not going to be able to go to the games, but you can come and enjoy. I was just in there on Thursday night to check out the Boiler Up Bar. It's a happening place even during this pandemic. Beautiful new renovation. And if you get a chance, you can click on our link on our message boards for more information about the Purdue Game Watch parties. Tom, you know, Notre Dame, we kind of grew up on that game. Just the importance of that and the fact that that game meant a lot to Purdue, maybe more to Purdue than Notre Dame. And, of course, that series is now on hiatus, but taking some getting used to the fact that that's the case now.
Yeah, 2014, Alan. That's the last time Purdue and Notre Dame played. 6 years, buddy.
Yeah.
6 years have passed. That game was in South Bend. The Irish, Alan, their shadow has not darkened West Lafayette since 2013. So, yeah, like you said, you and I, we grew up, you know, right there at the doorstep of Purdue University. Notre Dame, Purdue, on the calendar every year. And like you said, it was pretty big deal, my friend, when the Irish came into West Lafayette to play a football game. Always was, always will be. Unfortunate, as you said, the series is on hiatus. But yeah, I've got some good memories, Alan, but unfortunately I've got a lot of bad memories of Purdue Notre Dame. Always went in with a lot of expectations and hope, like a lot of Purdue fans. And again, left happy a few times with Alan. I was there, I think, for the two times they allowed 52 points, I believe, to Notre Dame. In 1988, I was at the game in South Bend. And my freshman year at Purdue, 1983, the first game of the year, Purdue gave up a 50-burger to the Irish. But again, a great series. And as we're going to talk about here, it's coming back for a spell, and I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, I'm not going to correct you on one thing because I'd forgotten. That game in 14 was actually, remember, it was at the Hoosier Dome, Lucas Oil and Daryl Hazel and company. Purdue actually played Notre Dame a little bit competitively early, and then the Irish won that game. That was the last game between the teams. Purdue's last trip to Notre Dame was in 12. Danny Hope and company, Robert Marvitt, quarterback. Purdue played Notre Dame very tough in that game, lost in the last second field goal. You know, it is, you know, you think about the two teams have played 86 times, I believe it is, Purdue 26-58-2 in that record. But what's interesting is Purdue really had, you know, we talked about that this week on the site, the fact that the 1950 game really put Purdue on the map, stopping Notre Dame's 39-game unbeaten streak, the legendary Frank Leahy, Dale Samuels at quarterback, Neil Schmidt, Bernie Flowers, Leo Sugar, all those names. Purdue wins that game and goes on a run from 1950 to 69. Purdue won 12 of 20 games. And if you think about this, Jack Mullenkopf, the legendary Purdue coach, 10-4 against Notre Dame from 1956 to 1969. That's impressive. But like you said, your memories, I got to see some of those games from 67. My first Purdue Notre Dame game in person was in 67 at Ross Aid. But you, a little bit younger, since 1970, Purdue just 10-34 against Notre Dame. So, but I would argue that it has a lot, so much to do with really what Purdue is on a national level, what Purdue's brand is. Yes, Purdue is the cradle of quarterbacks, but during a very formative time when college football wasn't overexposed, Tom, Purdue beat Notre Dame on a regular basis. And that was a big deal in the 50s and 60s to beat Notre Dame. And even though the Irish went through a little bit of a down spell before Era Precision came back, this was a big deal to beat the Fighting Irish.
Yeah, big deal. You're right. There wasn't the glut of games on television that you talked about, Alan, that we see today. Purdue Notre Dame was often a national event, and great publicity for the Boilers. Alan, I think in the piece that you wrote on Dale Samuels, mentioned Neil Armstrong, right?
Right.
Watching the newsreel in the movie theaters as a kid about Purdue beating Notre Dame in 1950, and that sort of at least planted the seed in young Neil Armstrong's head about Purdue, and you know, I'm sure at least got it on the radar to the point where he visited and obviously decided to come to Purdue and graduate and go on to great fame. So you can never discount, you know, the high profile of playing the Fighting Irish, what that means to your program. Purdue had that stage, had that audience every year. And boy, again, like I said before we came on camera, you don't appreciate things a lot of times till you lose them. And boy, that game, again, I was always a tough challenge to win it, but at least you were being talked about. It was a national game when you played the Irish, and Purdue had that, Alan, for years and years. And like you said, the dominance of the 50s and 60s was great for Purdue fans. Not so great since 1970. And Alan, for me, like you said, I haven't seen a lot of Purdue wins over Notre Dame, but I was lucky enough when I was a student and you were working in the athletic department, Purdue got back-to-back wins, 1984, 1985. Of course, the iconic game in the Hoosier Dome. First event ever down there in the Hoosier Dome. And then the next year, Alan, back in Ross-Ade Stadium. That wasn't even a ball game. I think it was 35-17. Purdue dominated. It was a great afternoon. The Goodyear blimp was there, I remember. T-shirts were being sold. They were off color. And it was just a great day to be a Purdue fan. They rolled the Irish that day. Jim Everett, Rodney Carter, that whole crew. A lot of fun.
Yeah, you know, Purdue's only won back-to-back games against Notre Dame twice in 84-85, you talk about, then also under Joe Tiller in the days of Ty Willingham, they won 2003 and 2004. But yeah, the game meant a lot from that standpoint. When you think about this, and longtime Purdue fans will remember this, but younger ones won't believe what I'm about to say. Purdue and Notre Dame in 1968 at Notre Dame. And again, they only did one or two TV games a week. Number one Purdue in the coaches poll, I believe, and maybe have this turned around. Number one Notre Dame in the media poll. Purdue goes and beats Notre Dame badly. 37-22. You can watch that game on YouTube. It's great to watch Chris Schenkel and Bud Wilkinson doing the game. Chris Schenkel, a Purdue, former Purdue student, and the fact that Leroy Keyes and Mike Phipps just rolled up on Notre Dame that day. Unreal. But that, you think about that, you know, that game goes, there aren't that many battles for number one. We remember Ohio State, Michigan in 2006. I remember Nebraska, Oklahoma in 71. There have been others, certainly, but there haven't been very many of them. And Purdue was involved, and Purdue won in 68. Of course, that season fell apart to some extent, losing to Ohio State a couple weeks later. But it's still absolutely amazing from that standpoint that opportunity, because you don't get that opportunity unless you play somebody like Notre Dame. And that's I think what we're kind of hinting at. It's great for the program to do it.
Yeah, you know, my dad would always talk about the 1954 game, Alan.
Yeah,
he was a freshman at Purdue taking PE, and Len Dawson, Hart Dawson, sat on the same row. He sat a few rows ahead of him, and he always told me he got to know Dawson a little bit. I always believed my dad. Yeah. Talked about that game in 1954 when the Golden Boy, Len Dawson led Purdue to a big win over the Irish that fall of 54. And Alan, you know, the Joe Tiller era getting to be a little bit more contemporary here. I tell you what, buddy, talked about Tiller's back-to-back wins in 2003, 2004, but as you and listeners know, Tiller came oh so close to beating out two or three more times. Those games in South Bend in 1998 and 2000, they still sting me.
2002 also, yeah.
Oh, yeah, 2000, they were so close those years to beating the Irish. And, of course, for Tiller, that era, 1997, my friend, that game against Notre Dame was iconic. And then the win in South Bend, Alan.
Yeah.
It was a Stubblefield game, I'll call it.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Hadn't won under the Golden Dome since 1974 before that. Just a great, great day for Boilermaker fans.
Yeah, that 41-16 win. You're talking about the 97-yard pass when Kyle Orton looks to his right and somehow signals, and Stubblefield runs the last 60 yards basically untouched. Gets a penalty, I think, for celebrating with the boiler up sign as he's crossing the goal line. But one of Tiller's best victories. Yeah, you know, the 98, I do remember, and I was there at 98, 2000, and 2002, all games that Purdue had. You could say had in the bag. I mean, really, in 98, you had a chance to seal that game, and Notre Dame comes back and wins. 2000, Purdue takes a late lead, and then a Nick set a field goal. Who names like Gary Godsey? You don't even want to talk about Gary Godsey, the tight end for Notre Dame that played quarterback that day. And for some reason, Purdue only chose to throw the ball about 20 times against Notre Dame in 2000. Unfortunately, one of them I know they had a fake punt that went awry with Travis Dorse trying to find Vinny Sutherland. I'm not sure whether some signals were crossed, but there was tremendous heartbreak in those games because those were three times. You just don't get that many chances to win up there in that streak. You know, going back to that game in 74, and I'll digress to that one, again, listening to Henry Rosenthal on the radio. I don't know why I wasn't listening to John DeCamp, because Purdue had two originating broadcasts. And Purdue jumps out to that lead in the first quarter, 24-0. They get a pick six. They get a fumble recovery. They get a breakaway. Pete Gross, who is a lumbering fullback. I don't think he ever ran 51 yards, even when he was running the 50-yard dash. And here's a guy that Purdue's ahead 24-0 at the end of the first quarter and hangs on a very average Purdue football team at the end of the day. And yet Purdue wins against the defending national champions and Tom Clements, the quarterback, and Eric Persegian. Alex Agassi gets the job done. So there have been a lot of great memories from those games. I think the 84 game. Tell me about what you remember about that one at the Hoosier Dome. Again, iconic plays for Purdue, but an amazing win.
Yeah, just that buildup. I mean, the ultimate David versus Goliath, right, Alan? You've seen it played out so many times in our sports culture. And just the fact it was the first game in the freshly minted Hoosier Dome, the lack of expectations for Purdue, the surprise almost like a Christmas morning, Alan, to beat the Irish with a redshirt junior quarterback named Jim Everett. Really, Alan, if he had not played well in that game against the Irish, if you go back and read accounts, he's probably going to lose his job to Jeff Huber or Doug Downing. Boy, how that would have changed Jim Everett's life, right? And the trajectory that set Purdue off in 1984 to that Peach Bowl season, 7-4, I believe, overall that year until they lost the Peach Bowl to Don Majkowski and Barry Word and Jim Dombrowski of UVA down there in Fulton County Stadium. A lot of fun, Alan. I hate to bring this up, though. You got to talk about Lou Holtz. And he went 11-0. Oh, yeah. He went 11-0 against Purdue, Alan. There was one point I remember they were talking about discontinuing the rivalry. Right around the end of his career in South Bend, it got so lopsided, so depressing for Purdue fans. 11-0 for Lou Holtz against Purdue. And also want to bring up the fun 1997 game real quick again. The fact that when Purdue was looking for a coach to replace Jim Coletto, Bob Davey was a big candidate. Of course, yeah. Bob says no, stays in South Bend, becomes the head coach. Who becomes his offensive coordinator? Jim Coletto. Who gets beat in Ross-Ade Stadium in 1997? Jim Coletto, Bob Davey, and the Fighting Irish. And Alan, I love your memories of 2001. Of course, the uniqueness of that game, played December 1st because of 9/11. Again, Alan, that was another game that left Purdue fans gnashing their teeth.
Yeah, there are, you know, all those games. I remember the December 1st game happened to be my birthday, number 42. And it was a beautiful fall day, actually, late fall day. It was actually, the weather was good, and Purdue just, I think Notre Dame only had 150, 160 yards in total offense, I believe. Purdue just, I think Notre Dame had a punt return for a touchdown, kind of. That end of that season didn't end well, and Joe Tiller, you know, Purdue gets the Sun Bowl bid, but that season ended well, and it was so strange. Kind of a time like now, different, but certainly the pall of 9/11 hung over that season and that game to some extent. But Bob Davie, who got fired the next day, beats Purdue 24-18. And Notre Dame, not a very good team that year, and Purdue didn't finish well that year, obviously, but did start the season 5-2, but just made too many mistakes in that one to get it done. You know, you go back to Lou Holtz, you know, most of those games weren't even close. I mean, they were not even close. They were blowups, with the exception of the 95 game. And I remember that one well. I was living in Columbus, Ohio at the time. And Mike Allstott's senior year, and Purdue had a chance. I remember Derek Brown getting a pick six, tying that game up late. Notre Dame sneaks out of Ross-Ade with a 35-28 win. But, boy, you look at a lot of those other games, and they just were not competitive football games during that streak. Lou Holtz and company absolutely rolled Purdue week in and week out. I mean, there were a couple in there that were somewhat close, but Holtz and company dominated Purdue. But, you know, you think about how great Era Precision was and how Purdue really had its way with Notre Dame in a lot of those games, you know, beating Era in 65, one of the greatest upsets. Notre Dame, also defending national champs, comes in ranked number one. Bob Greasy, the sophomore quarterback, one of the greatest passing performances in the history of the Big Ten, not only in Purdue, 19 of 22 passing and 283 yards, all records at the time, and Purdue comes back and beats him. But 67 also, I remember, and I got to go to that game. That's where I believed in the higher power, because I think I prayed for tickets that morning. I was in the second grade. I was the fourth of five kids. Somehow, some way, I got tickets and was able to go with my dad to the game. Very cool, gorgeous late September afternoon. Purdue beats Notre Dame 28-21 again in the last minute. Perry Williams gets a touchdown. You know, again, Purdue was ranked in the top five. Notre Dame, a defending national champion in 66 as well. So all those games are just great memories. 1969, it was Purdue, Mike Phipps, the only quarterback at the time to beat Notre Dame three straight years, and a quarterback for Notre Dame named Joe Theismann. Mm-hmm. And that was what his name was at that time. 1970, he became Joe Theismann, as the great SID, Roger Valdeseri, as the story goes, named him Theismann for the Heisman. But it was Joe Theismann in 1969. Purdue beats Notre Dame pretty soundly in that game, and Phipps gets his trifecta against the Irish. So a lot of great memories. And you know, even one last one I'll say, 1971 in a rainstorm. Oh, my God. I remember one of the rainiest games I've ever been. Purdue leading 7-0. Screen pass to Otis Armstrong put Purdue ahead. Purdue had that game won. They muffed a punt in the end zone. Scott Lockheed couldn't get a punt off. Notre Dame recovers the ball in the end zone in the last 4 minutes of the game and then goes for two, beats Purdue 8-7. And that was a bitter, bitter loss for Bob DeMoss and company in that one.
Yeah, yeah. You hate any loss is tough to ND, Alan. And I can't believe we've been talking for what, over 10 minutes already. You know what? We have not even talked about two of the greatest wins ever over Notre Dame.
Yeah.
1979, 1981 in Ross-Ade Stadium, buddy. I got to sit in the end zone, in the north end zone, on those temporary bleachers they brought in. On the field, Alan, it's really cool. Only about five little rows. My dad got me a ticket somehow. I sat down there by myself.
Yeah.
Crushed all the fans down there, and great win over ND that day, Alan. I remember that McDonald's there on Stadium and Northwestern used to have a giant picture from that game on the dining room wall. And great game from Mark Herman. And of course, 1981, Alan, I wrote about that game recently.
Yeah.
My time warps. The Steve Bryant game, right? Caught the late touchdown in one corner. caught the winning two-point conversion pass in the other corner in the waning seconds to steal a game from Notre Dame. What a great, great two games there in a row for Purdue against the Irish in West Lafayette, 79 and 81.
Well, you think about it, and the effect of Notre Dame, and think about those two games, 1981, the attendance, 70,007. Now, the biggest crowd in the history of Purdue football, at least announced crowd, was against Indiana in 1980 with 71,600. But then you talk about the game in 79 against Notre Dame, that when you talked about 70,567, those seats on the field, just unbelievable. Mark Herman and company getting the job done in Herman's only win over the Fighting Irish. He obviously one of the more memorable games, in not from a Purdue standpoint, 1980. Purdue opens the game. They move the game to the first game of the week so it can be on national TV. And Herman hurts his finger. I think he gets it clanked on a helmet. They can't play. Scott Campbell has to play. Purdue gets beat soundly in that game, 31-10, though Campbell played pretty well. But, you know, you look at those, there's nothing quite like it in terms of the pageantry. And one of the things in the history of football, going way back to the 40s and 50s, you know, Purdue and Notre Dame had a very close relationship. They played every year from 1946 to 2014. And part of that reason was the close relationship with Moose Krause, the Notre Dame AD, and Red Mackey. And Notre Dame had some issues with some schools in the Big Ten, and there are books written about that. But Purdue always had that relationship. They kept that series. Notre Dame, I think, canceled the series against Michigan for a number of years, rarely played Ohio State. The Big Ten powers didn't play many other Big Ten schools over the years. They played Northwestern some. They did that over the years. But Michigan State, obviously, and they've continued that series. But anyway, it's just an interesting, full of history, and it's going to be good. I know one thing we talked about, they will play, both T teams will play September 18th in 2021, if all things are somewhat normal, at Notre Dame. And then they come back and play from 2024 for what, six straight years, 2024 to five straight years to 28, where Notre Dame will come back to Purdue on September 14th, 2024, and they'll play yearly through 2028. At least that's the plan.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. 21, then 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, Alan.
Home and home.
So we get a little tease next year, then we have to take another two-year hiatus, and then we get it for 5 years in a row.
Yeah.
Boy, I don't even know where I'll be. I don't know where the world will be, but I just got to get through the day. I'm not going to worry about that. But, yeah, you know, USC, Navy, and Purdue, Alan, I think those are the three schools Notre Dame traditionally always played every year. And, of course, the joke all those years, Purdue and Notre Dame could play football, Alan, but Digger Phelps could never find a route to West Lafayette to play a basketball game against the Irish. That was always a big point of frustration for myself and a lot of Purdue fans. They would never play basketball, Alan, but they actually met a few times, but there was a gap there, Alan, for what, 30, 40 years they didn't play basketball.
Right, 1966, I think January of 66 at Notre Dame. And then they didn't play again until 2000, until they played in the NIT up at Notre Dame. And now, of course, they've played every other year, but they've not. Notre Dame has never played in Mackey Arena.
Are you kidding?
Notre Dame has never played in Mackey Arena, so it'll be interesting to see if that ever comes to pass. But yeah, it goes all the way back to the days of Dave Shellhouse in Purdue in 1960, I think January of 66. And then they played in that NIT game when Notre Dame won. And Purdue has not had a lot of success against the Fighting Irish in the Crossroads Classic, though I think winning once. But yeah, that's the thing. It's a big deal when you play Notre Dame, and will always be that. And I think that, you know, the last thing I'll comment on made it, and why I think it's important is Purdue struggled in attendance, certainly at times. And that game was almost always, you know, if you look at the lean years, 1986 to 1996, and even the early years of Danny Hope, those games were always sellouts. So Purdue would always have a sellout every other year. Now, later in, I think, 2009 and 11, those games did not exactly completely sell out in Ross-Ade. But my point is, it's a guarantee of not only a television marquee but it is also a game where you're going to have a full, you know, the bars and restaurants in West Lafayette would be full, and then some, and that meant a huge amount to the economy of, and the psyche, I think, of Purdue football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of great memories, Alan, and the further away we get from the Joe Tiller era, the more I appreciate his work, Alan. He went 5-7 against Notre Dame. As we talked about, it could have been 7-5 or 8-4 very easily.
Very easily. All right. Well, this we can go on about this all day, but it is, and there's a really good book too. If you're Ned Colletti, the former Chicago Cubs PR guy, wrote a book called Golden Glory, and if I could find it in my dirty office here, I'd hold it up because I was looking at it this morning. But a fun history of the Purdue Notre Dame series, I think, goes about from 1896. To games in the 80s. You know, Purdue never beat Newt Rockne didn't play him all that often when Newt Rockne was at Notre Dame. But some really interesting things in that series if you want to dig a little bit deeper. Ned does a great job, I think, recounting. I can remember just hearing about when Jack Brickhouse used to do Cubs game, they talk about Ned Colletti, and maybe Harry Carey knew him too because he worked for the Cubs for a number of years.
I interned with Ned Colletti at the Cubs. Ned's retired now and still living in California, and you know, he's doing real well.
Yeah. And what year was that you interned with them?
That was 1987. He was the PR guy. Sharon Panazzo was his assistant. Yeah. This guy named Bob Eibach, who was the public, edited the thing called the Vine Line. I don't know if they have it anymore, but
it's kind of a precursor to Golden Black Illustrated, right?
It was Dallas Green was still the GM, and I think Gene Michael was the manager. I think.
Yeah.
That was year they finished last, and Andre Dawson won the MVP award.
Unbelievable. Andre Dawson, one of the great performances ever. Like I said, Tom and I never have enough have problems with things to talk about and looking back over the memory. I'd forgotten that I knew you'd intern there, but I'd forgotten that you had and Ned Colletti is the great tie together and all of it.
I mean, I could talk about Ned for hours. You want to talk about an amazing person and an amazing career and a guy who earned everything he got, just an inspirational guy in a lot of ways.
Oh, no question. All right. We'll put this wrap on this Purdue Notre Dame relook and on the 70th anniversary of the week of the Purdue upset over the Irish in 1950. Tom, thanks. And we appreciate all of you listening. We want to thank the Purdue Union Club Hotel. Don't forget, if you are interested in coming to town, they have a special package to get a beautifully refurbished hotel, a beautiful 8-11 restaurant, a boiler up bar, and you can spend the weekend in West Lafayette and go to a watch party, socially distance as well. But as Purdue opens up October the 24th, they're going to do it for the home games. And that will be an opportunity for Purdue fans to do that as well. So have a great week, everybody. We'll be back next week. We'll talk a little more with Tom Schott and with Tom Deanhart as well. We'll talk about Tom Schott's new book. So again, have a great week, everybody. And thanks so much for listening and for watching.